Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Extra Innings, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Tough night for the Cardinals as they lose to the Arizona Diamondbacks. 10-6, the final score. Welcome in. This is the Circa Sports Extra Innings Show here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Glad to have you with us. And hopefully you'll enjoy this program, even though we're talking about a tough one today. Jeremy already sends in a message, says, is the show already over? No, we have barely gotten started as we are coming your way, talking through the Cardinals losing to the Diamondbacks in this one-off makeup game. If you want to chime in on what just went down, we welcome your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and also your messages on the video stream. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air, MATTPAULEY on air. Or for those of you watching on the video stream, feel free to leave a comment there and we'll get to some of those as we do go along through the evening tonight. A couple things jump out at me about this game. In hindsight, in many ways, this game was lost in the first inning when the Cardinals scored two runs. And that sounds kind of funny to say. But the fact that they did not add on when they had such an opportunity to have a really big inning, if you guys listen to me a lot, you know I talk about big innings maybe too much. No, I don't talk about them too much. I talk about them the right amount of time because that's how you win games in Major League Baseball. You win games in Major League Baseball with big innings. You show me teams that play for a single run here and a single run there, they're not winning many baseball games. You got to collect big innings. You got to collect those opportunities. And the Cardinals had a huge opportunity in the first inning. You appreciate the fact that they scored two runs. You appreciate the fact that J.J. Weatherholt led the inning off with a base hit, that Jordan Walker came up with a double in a really cool, fun moment, that Alec Burleson followed that up with a single, even that Lars Nootbaar was still able to get a base hit in there. You would have liked to have seen another run score on that hit. It didn't happen. But you have to add on. That cannot be a two-run inning. Because after that, Brandon fought really locked in, and the Cardinals had a small threat here and a small threat there, but they never had any opportunity like they had in the first inning. That's where they let them off the hook, and you can't do that. That's such a key moment in this game. And I know you feel good in the moment because the Cardinals have an early 2-0 lead, and Michael McGreevy's on the mound, and McGreevy always gives you a chance to win a game. And I'm not trying to be dismissive of giving Michael McGreevy an early 2-0 lead. Very often that will hold up. But today, and I felt this in the moment and I felt it that much more in hindsight, you needed more runs in the first and you did not get them. And then after that, McGreevy does a nice job, not a good, not great job, I would say, from McGreevy today. And he gives up the four runs and 6 1/3, and they were trying to push him. You know, they brought him back out for that first down in the seventh. And if you didn't hear, Oliver Marmol prior to the game said to the print media, because they asked about Hunter Dobbins, because a lot of people thought that we would get to the ballpark today and Dobbins would have been sent down and they would have another relief pitcher in here. Because if you've got Dobbins on the roster, you're playing a man down in the bullpen because you have six starters. And Oliver Marmol talked to the print media before the game and basically said they would like to have Dobbins to stick around to start another game. But if it gets to a point where they need that relief pitcher, they might be forced to make a move. And we'll see what it looks like when we get to the ballpark today. Not that using three relief pitchers is the end of the world, but I bet they would have liked to have used two for sure. I don't know if that was enough to push this Dobbins things over the edge where they do have to bring up a relief pitcher after what happened today, but I'm sure that's part of the decision to bring McGreevy back out just to get as, you know, to basically milk as many innings out of, or as many outs, I should say, as many outs out of McGreevy as possible, because there is an impact. Every single pitch that a relief pitcher throws right now has an impact on whether or not they're going to be forced to make a move and have to send Dobbins back down where he would not make another start. So that's something just to keep an eye on here moving forward, and we'll see if there's a move or not tomorrow. Bullpen was not very good today. Bullpen was, it wasn't very good. I don't know. I don't know what more to say about it. Justin Brule came in for his first inning of work, did his job, but then was unable to continue that. Matt Swanson was not especially good. That continues to be one of the most frustrating things about this team, because Matt Swanson has the stuff to be a big-time pitcher in Major League Baseball. And we saw it last year. We saw a lot of it last year. And for whatever reason, we've seen flashes of it this year, and I've gotten caught up in those flashes at times. You see him put together a really good performance or put together a really solid week and a half, 2 weeks, and you feel like it's coming all together, and then it falls off for him. So Swanson gives up the 3 runs on 4 hits, only collecting the 2 outs. Graceffa was okay. 1 inning, 1 run, 3 hits, 2 strikeouts, no walks. But the bullpen, again, did not do its job, and the bullpen has been leaking oil. And to be totally fair about things, they miss Jojo Romero. They really miss Jojo Romero. But those things happen. That can't be the reason. You can't lose a single relief pitcher, and then all of a sudden, everything that happens poorly with the bullpen is a result of that first domino being pushed down. Every team deals with injuries. Every team deals with players missing games. And you've got to be able to step up. And right now, the bullpen is at a place where recently it has not performed well. There has certainly been times this year, maybe not as long of amount of time as you would like, but there have certainly been times this year where the bullpen has been a strength for the Cardinals. It is not a strength right now, and you kind of hold your breath every time they go to the bullpen because you don't know what version of any relief pitcher, really any relief pitcher. There is not a bullpen pitcher on this team right now that I think you feel just awesome about when they come out. And that's an unfortunate thing that this team is going through here at the moment. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Let's get to our cut of the game. Our cut of the game is sponsored by The Diamond Shop, thediamondshop.net. We will go back to the first inning. Was a really cool, the coolest moment today, Jordan Walker gets introduced. He gets introduced. John Hewlett says, when introducing him, home run derby champion, he gets the great, you know, let's just do all this together. So he gets the great ovation.
A 1-0 victory at Anaheim, and now a tip of the batting helmet by Jordan Walker, who gets a standing ovation from the crowd here in St. Louis on his return after his outstanding performance in the home run derby at the All-Star game.
Oh, I love this moment, John. This feels like St. Louis, doesn't it?
I love what Ricky said there. This feels like St. Louis, doesn't it? When you think about Cardinals games, when you think about Cardinals baseball, you think about big players, big moments, and feeling that there was a feel to that moment when the crowd was going crazy for Jordan Walker, which was awesome. And then he comes through.
Batting second in the order today. He swings and lines it to right center field. That ball's going to the gap. It's going to the wall. Here's Weatherholt. He is being waved around third. The relay coming in is cut off. The Cardinals have a 1-0 lead on a ringing double to right center by Jordan Walker.
That is our cut of the game. It's sponsored by The Diamond Shop, thediamondshop.net. That was a cool moment for sure. So much so that our guy Ballgame, who always after victories will send in his tip of the cap, he did one after a loss. He says, Matt, I'm feeling the need to do a rare tip of the batting helmet and raise of the Liberty Bell to the fans at the game today for the reception that they gave Jordan Walker. Can't wait until tomorrow night when the team officially recognizes him for representing the Birds on the Bat up in Philly. It makes me smile to think that there are a lot of kids around the country that became Jordan Walker fans last Monday night. Let's turn it up at St. Louis. And again, tomorrow night's going to be a really cool night. The Cardinals put together a quick turn promotional giveaway where there's going the first 15,000 fans through the turnstiles tomorrow are going to get a Jordan Walker Home Run Derby Championship t-shirt. It's a really good looking shirt. You can see it for yourself at the website cardinals.com, and that's going to be but that was the coolest moment of this game for sure that we saw, and that was fun to see. But unfortunately for the Cardinals, they were not able to follow that up with more runs. They got a couple runs there, but they were not able to follow it up with more runs. Baby Bird Nation sends in a comment, says, it seems we get our hopes up after one of our players have one great season, as it's been rare that our players can put up back-to-back good seasons. I guess I would be curious who you're specifically talking about. That's somewhat of a vague message. Now, are you talking about Ivan Herrera? I think Ivan Herrera is going to be fine. I've got a lot of confidence that Ivan Herrera is going to be a really good ball player in Major League Baseball. I don't know who you're talking about, so I have a hard time responding to that comment when Ivan Herrera is the guy who jumps off, you know, my off the page for me when it comes to putting up certain numbers last year, not following up this year. You can probably put Mason Wynn in that bucket a little bit as well, but Wynn, it wasn't like Wynn really came on the scene just last year. Wynn's numbers have actually fallen a little bit over the last couple years since he's made his major league debut. But the bigger point, and the reason I read that text, the bigger point to this is you see players every year in Major League Baseball have good seasons and never really follow it up. And that's one of the really tough things about this game, is being able to be an incredibly consistent player that year in, year out, you go pole to pole and you put up good numbers. It's really tough. And it's different than football because of the toll that your body takes when you play football and making it through a football season, but also playing 162 games, that's a different level of wear down that you have to go through. And then the ability to take the off season to get yourself back in shape is a big deal. Jeremy says this. Yeah, I should. You're right, Jeremy. I'm not using my brain right now. That was a long afternoon of baseball. He's talking about Swanson, Matt. You're right, Jeremy. Thank you for the hat tip there. And I think Swanson's going to be fine long term, but I don't know. This is the thing that's really frustrating about this team, because I would have never in a million years thought that Matt Swanson would be having the season that he's having right now. There was not a pitcher in this bullpen that I was more confident about. And maybe this says something about me, but there was not a pitcher in this bullpen that I had more confidence in than Matt Swanson. I thought that Riley O'Brien was going to be the closer. I thought he was going to do a nice job as the closer, but I thought it was the right decision to make Riley O'Brien the closer. The thing about Matt Swanson was he can cover multiple innings. That was part of the reason that I didn't want to see him as the closer when the season got started. I thought it made more sense for O'Brien to be in that role. But what we've seen this year from Swanson is just one of the most unexpected things that you could have seen. And it's a bummer because of how good he can be. And to be fair, he had a good month of June. It wasn't a ton of appearances. It was 8 games in the month of June. He had a 2.89 ERA in the month of June and a 176 average against, a whip, of just over 1.07. But outside of that, it's been consistently bad for Svensson. 8.56 ERA in the month of April, 6 ERA in the month of May, 5.14 ERA so far in the month of July. That was largely impacted by the three runs that he gave up today, because he's given up six runs in the month of July. Three of them came today, so those numbers look very differently if we're having... In fact, this is how much things can change, and maybe I'm being a little bit harsh on Svensson, and this was actually just a case of him having a bad day, which relief pitchers have, and not a continuation of a tough season, which I think we have to leave open the possibility for. Because if we're going to talk about Svensson having that really good June, and then coming into today, here, let's run some numbers real quick. Let's look at what he was in July before today. So today is July 23rd, so we'll look at his numbers from July 1st to July 22nd. Yeah, okay. 1.42 ERA in the month of July coming into today. So let's run that back even further. Getting rid of today, and I know you can't do it, but I'm just, sometimes numbers don't totally tell the story, and it's fun to just dive in a little bit. If we go back to June 1st, if we run Matt Svensson's numbers from June 1st till yesterday, so not counting today's game, he's got a 2.30 ERA, a 193 average against, and a whip below one. Strikeout numbers, 14 strikeouts and 15 and two-thirds innings. So maybe we're being a little bit hard on Svensson, because in reality, he's been darn good since the calendar turned to June. This is the first time, this is the second time he's had a really tough outing. He had a game against Arizona. He had a game against Arizona on June 23rd, where he gave up four runs, three earned, only recording one out. And then he had this one today. So if you pull Arizona off his game by game over the last 2 months, you've got, what, a 1 ERA or something like that. I'm not smart enough to do those numbers on the fly, but you get the idea of where I'm trying to go with this. Speaking of numbers, let's go ahead and get to Buy the Numbers. It is sponsored by Bank of Springfield. Bank boldly, bank with BOS. Member FDIC. Always appreciate what the Cardinals do in terms of sending out the numbers. And for J.J. Weatherholt, he has a multi-hit game today. He produces his 30th multi-hit game of the season, leading all Major League Baseball rookies, and he becomes the first Cardinals left-hand rookie with 30 or more multi-hit games in a single season since Colby Rasmus had 32 in 2009. There is a lot of baseball left to be played, so I think he's going to get to that point. Also, Jordan Walker records his major league leading 77th RBI with his double in the first inning, has recorded a hit in six straight games against Arizona with an RBI in three consecutive games and an extra base hit in his last two. He also becomes the first Cardinal to record 77 or more RBIs through the team's first 102 games since Nolan Arenado had 77 in 2023 through the team's first 99 games of the season. We will take a break. We've still got more coming up. If you want to get in here, you can do so by calling or texting 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll roll on with more of the Circus Sports Extra Inning Show in just a moment, right here on KMOX.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Extra Innings, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. And by Circa Sports. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. On the voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Back at it on the Circus Sports Extra Inning Show here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Appreciate you being with us as we take you for, we'll probably be with you for another 10 minutes or so as we start to wrap up our baseball day. an unexpected baseball day, I guess you can say. Not unexpected in terms of, like, it popped up on us, but the original schedule did not have it. I liked what the Cardinals did with the happy hour, and I thought it was a pretty solid crowd today, all things considered. Generally, you have these makeup games, and you don't have much of a crowd, and you know a lot of people who had bought tickets for when the game was originally scheduled, they're not going to come in. It wasn't a bad crowd today, and I kind of openly wonder, would fans like this happy hour thing? Like, is this something that maybe the Cardinals could do two or three times a year during the summer months and have the drink specials, have the food specials? They did $5 beers. They did $5 hot dogs today. They were just trying to draw people in. They called it a happy hour. I liked it. I liked the vibe of the ballpark today. Now, if you're going to do it, you're probably... I guess you could do it on a final game of a series on a getaway day, but more often than not, those getaway days are earlier in the day, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock type games. If you do this in the middle of a series, well, then you're sacrificing one of your normal gate times, like a 6:45 first pitch, and that's probably where the organization thinks that they're going to draw the most fans in. So I would be interested to know if this became a thing that the Cardinals did. I have to think that internally they're happy with the numbers today on this being this unexpected game and the number of tickets that were sold between the game being postponed and this the reschedule. And probably they pushed the marketing push was pretty, yeah, they put a lot into this here over the last few days that this was going to be the happy hour, and I think that message was able to get out there. So I don't know. Sometimes you kind of luck into things. I don't know if that's something they would luck into or not, but I liked the vibe. I thought it was good. And again, I go back to what I said earlier with the moment for Jordan Walker. That was so cool. I'm glad Ricky said what he said on the broadcast where he said this feels like St. Louis, because it did. It absolutely did. And those were the perfect words to put on there. Text message comes in from 314, says, do you think Ryan Helsley might be available at the trade deadline just to beef up the bullpen? I don't think the Cardinals are going to. I think the cost for a Ryan Helsley, and I don't know. Like I don't know if that's somebody that's going to be available. And sometimes you know these guys, so you get kind of stuck in wanting to see former Cardinals maybe return to the organization. I just think a guy like him. I'm not saying the Cardinals don't add to the roster, but I would say somebody like him, if he was available, which I would suspect he's probably not, but if he was available, that's probably more than what the Cardinals would want to spend, if that makes sense. They are not going to get rid of any prospect that they feel like can be a big part of this organization moving forward, even if they're in a seller's mode. Right now, they can't be in a seller's mode. They're not winning enough games right now. They're just not winning enough games right now. So the team's got to win a few games, I think, before we can really be talking about that. Let's get to our insurance run of the game. It is sponsored by Ramsey Insurance in Bowen, Illinois, proudly representing auto owners insurance. And we could do a specific run, but really it's just what the Diamondbacks were able to do when they put together their big eighth inning. They took a 4-2 lead into the eighth inning, and then they scored 5 runs on 6 hits in the eighth. So that was all insurance for them. And what that allowed them to do is it allowed them to withstand a 4-run ninth inning from the Cardinals, where it really didn't impact this game that much that the Cardinals did score the 4 runs. The fact that Paul Sewald got up and started throwing a bit, that would maybe be a little bit of an impact, but that wasn't that much of an impact. So we'll just call that inning the insurance runs of the game. And again, that is brought to you by our friends at Ramsey Insurance in Bowen, Illinois, proudly representing auto owners insurance. And finally, Who's on a Roll is sponsored by Circus Sports. Sports betting the way it should be. We went through some of these numbers earlier, but Mason Winn, he extends his on-base streak to 13 consecutive games against Arizona. That goes back to April of 24. That's tied for the third longest among active players. Also, Alec Burleson has notched a hit in 10 consecutive games against Arizona with three straight multi-hit efforts. He's also reached base safely in 7 of 8 games since returning from the All-Star break and has multiple hits in 4 of those games. We actually got a message asking, do I think that the Cardinals should give an extension to Alec Burleson? He's probably not my top extension candidate at this point in time. That would probably be Jordan Walker. At some point in time, the Cardinals are going to have to figure out what they are doing with Yvonne Herrera. Because if he wants to continue to be a two-day-a-week catcher, that's fine. But that doesn't change the fact that you still pretty much have to carry two other catchers on the roster. Because he's going to be DHing when he's not catching. So whoever those two other catchers might be, if Yvonne Herrera is going to continue to be a two-day-a-week catcher, you are likely, who DHs all the rest of the time, you're still likely to be carrying three catchers, including Herrera. If you ever move Herrera off of that catching DH thing, well, then the spot that makes the most sense for him would be first base. So that's why I would maybe pump the brakes on Alec Burleson extension, because I think the first thing that has to happen for this team is they just need to know, and maybe they have a plan. Maybe deep down they already know what they are going to be doing in that area, but we don't know. We have not been informed of that. So that's where I kind of pause. I really like Alec Burleson. I think he's having a heck of a season. I think what we've seen from him lately against lefties has been super notable. He was really struggling against left-handers, so much so that I think people were having the conversation, hey, should this guy be a platoon first baseman? Should he just not face left-handers? And Burleson, to his credit, has once again started to hit lefties and has done a nice job with it. Says a lot about him. He's one of those guys that just the amount of work that he has put in to get to the point that he's at right now, he deserves so much credit. So to use a Mike Claiborne line, I would say stay tuned on the idea of an extension for Alec Burleson. Not that I'm against it, but it's just I'm not quite sure how the roster construction with all the positional stuff that's going to happen with this team, how that would work moving forward, especially with some stud catchers that are still on the way. Cardinals-Reds coming up tomorrow, 7:15 first pitch, 6:20 for our pregame tomorrow. I'll be with you for Redbird Rush Hour starting at 5 o'clock. I also have you for Gas House Gang tomorrow at noon. You get a lot of me tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to talking to you then. Cardinals lose today. They fall to the Diamondbacks. We'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on KMOX.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.